According to a study published in the American Academy of Pediatrics, less work and more play helps a child to learn, develop socially, and promotes better health. Researchers also reported that curbing free time at school robs youngsters of needed exercise, leads to unruly classrooms, and ultimately the tragedy of listening to...
Outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to LATalkRadio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. End of the Winter Whiner.
Mr. End of the Winter Whiner.
We all get sick of the cold, but with spring just weeks away, your constant harping on it really frosts us. Why don't you grow a pair, you sniveling, shivering sissy you?
What happened to the day freeze off?
Oh, are your little toesies cold?
The Donner Party complainless, yeah.
So when the drama queen of dropping temperatures complains like he's a living client of cryogenics, be sure to give him a space heater and a cold shoulder to cry on. For he's Mr. End of the Winter Whiner, a real American hero.
End of the Winter Whiner.
Mention the cold snap one more time and I'll do the same thing to your neck.
Ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio. Get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Welcome to Monday, March 22nd, the first day of spring, my folks.
It is?
Yes, my children and everything. I guess it's the 21st or the 22nd, something like
Well, according to Al, this means it's hunting season.
Yeah, that's right. That's
I didn't even catch it. Good morning, Al, if she's listening. So this is hunting season, ladies. This is when you're supposed to go out and set up shop and find your man and...
Yeah, manhunting season, that's what it is.
Yeah, apparently, according to Elle.
Yeah, for the next 6 months or so. So, girls, get out there.
Get out there.
Anyway, what a beautiful day in Southern California this morning.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
Feels good.
The health care bill passed. Half of the country is happy. Half the country
is in
mourning. Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, but it's still got a long way. It faces some hurdles and stuff. So we'll see what happens. But I didn't get that much into it because it's so complicated.
It's very complicated. And I mean, there's whatever. Honestly.
Yeah, there's too many implications.
So many things about that bill that need to be adjusted. And anyway, it's not that I don't want people to have free health care and everybody to be taken care of. Ideally, I would love that. But I think that there's a lot of things that are hidden in that bill that the public doesn't know about.
Absolutely.
Not that I have, the right, not that I have like the firsthand thing, but they're supposed to televise it. They said they were going to have open meetings about it and none of that happened.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things attached to that bill that the public doesn't know about.
Yeah, there's a lot of debate on this. I mean, obviously, this did not go through smoothly.
A lot of Democrats didn't want it either.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they got it unless they revised a few things. I know it had a lot to do with abortion was one of the issues.
Right, yeah.
Unless they revised it, because that was what the Democrats were saying, that the language regarding the abortion situation was that they people feel that if it violates their beliefs, they shouldn't have to financially... Like, basically, the government should not be funding abortions.
Right, right.
And especially partial birth abortion, which has been banned in several states, but that it would pass through the medical bill, and that really violates a lot of people's beliefs. And a lot of people don't know that that's something that was being considered, so I don't know if it's in the bill or not, but it is. That was one of the things that was holding it up on the Democratic end. Even Democrats, I mean, we're not even talking about, like, pro-life
Yeah.
You know, Republicans. We're talking about Democrats.
You see, and the thing is that I'm pro-choice, and I'm for if a woman wants to have an abortion,
yeah,
she can. But at the same time, I have to agree that I don't think the government should fund it.
That is something that, I mean, I think we can, I think a lot of people agree on, is that whether or not you personally believe in it or not, it takes it to a whole different level when you're making people that strongly disagree with it provide it financially out of their pocket for people. It's really violating the crux of a lot of people's it's a big deal for a lot of people.
Right.
And I mean, for me it is too.
Yeah.
I strongly disagree with it, but at the same time, I can agree to disagree to a point until it really, you're now forcing people to violate their own beliefs.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, but everybody believes something different, you know, so what are you going to do? You know,
well,
you can't
there's
everyone.
A saying that says your rights end where mine begin, and vice versa, my rights end where yours begin. So, you know, it's one thing to go, hey, this is your choice, and this is what you're going to do, and you're doing it on your own dime and your own time, versus, okay, now the country is footing the bill for this.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
but
we will.
But at any rate, I mean, I think the idea, you know, of making sure that everybody has
healthcare. Oh, it's a great idea, yeah.
It's a great idea, but implementing it is a whole different ballgame.
That's exactly what people don't understand. They like to think that if you're questioning the healthcare and you're really not on board with the healthcare plan, people think of you as this cold person that doesn't want people to have healthcare, and that's just not the issue. It's that it violates so many other possibly constitutional rights, and it can. And there's a lot of things that have been really sketchy, and honestly, it'd be great to do a different segment where we have people on that one, you know, just to kind of be more informative.
Like a debate and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, because they were supposed to, I mean, there's a lot of things they're supposed to do. Like, they were supposed to actually, Obama really stressed that there was not going to be any closed meetings on this, that it was going to be televised, that people, the U.S., you know, citizens were going to be able to see what was going on, and so much of it was behind closed doors. And I think that alone is a huge red flag. And the fact that it's not even been finalized and people can't get a copy to see what this is about, it's just, it's like going on and on and on and on and on. So that's just another, you know, you pass things that are unfinished and they keep tacking crap onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
we'll continue talking about it as we become more familiar with it, I suppose. I'm, you know, like I said, I'm not into politics that much. You know, I mean, topics that come up to the surface and stuff, you know, if they get my attention and stuff, you know, I'll get into it.
No, I understand.
But the healthcare bill has been going on for so long that after a while I just get bored with it. It's like, come on, people, let's get on board here, you know. So, but obviously something like this is not something that's going to it's not a small thing, you know.
No.
It's going to be a big deal. But at any rate, I mean, beautiful day in Southern California.
Beautiful day.
I mean, this is like summer now, you know, 74
degrees.
Yeah, but
it's been summer for a while, except for some of those raining streaks. I mean, it's summer in L.A. pretty much all the time. This is
nice. But it has been very cold at night, you know. Now it's not so bad.
It feels really good. I'm going to go enjoy the day. Well, I don't know if I can walk, actually.
Yeah.
I take that back. Yeah. I take that back.
So you'll tell us more about it in a couple minutes.
Yes, but
about what you did yesterday.
We got some big news, though.
Yeah.
I know we want to get to
the news. Oh, you want to announce the news.
You want to get to the big juicy news, or you want to save it?
Well, since we were talking about
We'll talk about it in and out the whole time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, but I just wanted to bring up that we went to New York. I went with my wife for 4 days, and we couldn't have asked for better weather.
Oh, really?
Telling you, it was just friggin' beautiful.
Really?
Yes, the whole time.
So what was the? What was
it like wasn't. The... I mean, I think here at night is even colder than it was there.
Mm.
You know, and so you're able to walk out at night. You know, go on strolls and stuff. And you know, have you been to New York?
No, remember I told you that?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to refresh. So.
Okay.
But I've got to tell you that if you plan to travel somewhere, New York should definitely be one of your destinations.
No, I definitely will.
You know?
Yeah.
It's when you go there and you see so many people and so much action, LA feels like a cemetery.
I've been told that. Yeah. I mean, LA's a really fast-paced city compared to most of the world, I mean, or the U.S. But yeah, New York is like New York is New York.
Yeah, I mean that it's 24 hours a day.
Yeah,
we're here. Everything closes down at 10 o'clock for crying out loud.
Like, what cities would compare to New York as far as the pedestrian lifestyle, the fast pace go, the 24 hours a day?
You have London.
London.
You know?
I would say what, like
Amsterdam,
even
Tel Aviv. You know,
oh,
24
okay.
hours a day.
What about like Hong Kong or?
Probably. Probably.
I was thinking a lot of like the Asian big metropolitan cities are
like.
Probably.
You see, many cities people walk. you know?
Yeah.
But
well,
here,
they're cities. They're
so
kind of made to walk. Except L.A.'s like a big... L.A. is like a city suburb. I mean, if you go, when I go hiking and I look at the top of the, you know, I look at the skyline, you see several different clusters of huge buildings. You're like, that looks like a city. Mm-hmm. That looks like its own city. This looks like its own city. And you're like, that's downtown. That's Century City. That's Beverly Hills. Mm-hmm. Over there, you can kind of see Santa Monica. And there's the Valley. And that's Burbank. And so you see all these huge clusters.
Yeah, everything's spread out, you know. And even when you go to our downtown, you know, it... You know, after 4 or 5 o'clock, you can't barely find a soul there, you know?
Well, there's a reason for that. They clean it up. I mean,
they've
been working on downtown for a good while now, the last, I don't know, 5 to 10 years, where they're really trying to make it more like a quote-unquote Times Square.
Right.
And they've had great deals on condos, and they've refurbished a lot of buildings and have made it much more livable. The Staples Center, they've got, what is it called, Downtown Live, LA Live. Mm-hmm. Where it's this big, beautiful center that they have a lot of sports games, concerts, and it's really beautiful at night. It's lit up with all these pretty little lights, and and there's a lot of great art museums and a lot of hotel bars that rooftop, but it's still not quite like come live in LA, downtown LA. I mean, there are a lot of professionals that do live there, but for the most part, after around 5 o'clock, it's because don't quote me on this or call up and tell me I'm wrong, that it's kind of on the dangerous side.
You know, I would say not so much. When we opened the station 2 years ago, we were downtown.
Where?
In the financial district. It was across the street from the Bonaventure Hotel, across the street from the library.
That was a nice area, right?
That's a nice area of downtown. But I've got to tell you, every day when I would walk to the car, I would see like dozens of homeless people.
Yeah.
You know, not that they really bother you, but you know, it takes away. It takes away from the experience when you walk around there.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you everything. After 5 o'clock, all the restaurants close down. After everybody goes home from work.
It doesn't stay open at night. But
no,
I think it's because it's still transitioning.
There's like a couple of them, but you know, hardly anybody goes there.
Yeah, isn't it kind of still transitioning to this?
Yeah, it is. That's what you were saying. I mean, they started on it, but there's still a long way to go. You know?
I was down there doing some comedy, and I mean, I couldn't find... First of all, you can't find parking at all, like just valet or do the lot.
Right.
But I finally found some parking way far away, and it's one of these things where you're on one street, it's decent. The next street, it looks... like you are in the middle of nowhere and you might get killed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on that street and I was wearing like super high heels and of course a really cute skirt. And I was walking like, and I was like, oh damn. And that's just kind of my life. I kind of just walk into situations, just Lord, please take care of this situation. Pray that I don't get mugged. If I do, oh well, it'll be a good story. Not really. But just walking, I was thinking, you know, I need to turn back and get my car and go somewhere else. Because there wasn't anybody. There wasn't anybody there except for a couple, you know.
Yeah. So that's it. You know, in L.A., there's a few places like the Grove. You know, you have 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica.
Yeah, I used to live right there.
You have City Walk where people can walk. And people just love it, you know. I think people here are hungry for
they
places
are.
To walk.
Well, I think it's human connection. And where I live, off of Franklin, near Beechwood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that area. It's east of Hollywood and Highland, further north. It's like the Hollywood
Los
Hills
Feliz or something.
Yeah, close to Los Feliz, and it's like the Hollywood Hills, but the foothills.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm near what they call Franklin Village. So there's a Mayfair Market that's now Gelson's. Lots of great restaurants, bookstores.
I know that area.
Coffee shops.
Pretty cool there.
It's right across from the Scientology Celebrity Building. But there's just so much...
Yeah.
So many people are walking around, and it's cool. People with their dogs. And it feels like a little... When I moved there, I was not that familiar with the area, and I was pleasantly surprised when I made some friends in the neighborhood, and they had tons of friends that... people will just become locals in that area.
Yeah.
And it has a community feeling. But that is kind of... There are pockets in LA that are like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But most part, it is very much everybody's in their own pod, their own car.
Yeah.
So, and that's probably different from New York.
Yeah. I mean, there, it's just a massive number of people. You know, it's like you can't even describe it, you know? And especially on a Saturday night, Times Square, it's just you can barely walk. I mean, a sea of people. But it's so festive. It's so much fun, you know?
Really?
Yeah. And they closed off part of Broadway there in Times Square where you can walk now. And it's, you know, it's just a really, really great feeling. You feel like you're in the center of the world when you're in New York.
That's cool.
And we went to eat over at afterwards I found out that there's one here, but I didn't know that. We went to Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't been, no.
Yeah.
Was it good?
You know, obviously it's named after the Forrest Gump movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, they have shrimp in every possible way you can imagine.
Okay, you what'd
know?
You get?
And we just had, I actually had some fried shrimp because that's the way I like them best.
Mm-hmm.
But they had them in every possible way, you know, including tempura and God, I mean, you know, just
really?
Yeah, shrimp cocktails and but really served nicely and everything, great service, and you know, you look on TV screens and constantly the movie is playing in a loop there.
Oh, that's cool.
And music from the 70s, 80s, it was just amazing, you know.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do have one out here. I've seen it.
I heard it like of it like what Santa Monica or something, you think?
Maybe, yeah. I was in Santa Monica yesterday. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Mhm, it's crazy. But probably not as busy as New York.
No, nothing's busy as New York. And New York is the streets are filled with the smell of food, mm-hmm. you know, and good food. I got to tell you this, across the street from our hotel, this is like on 6th Avenue there in Midtown, and across the street there's one of those carts, you know, where they sell food on the corners
yeah.
and stuff. And we're looking over there, we cross the street. First of all, the air is filled with the smell of this like lamb and chicken and stuff.
Ooh, that
you know?
Sounds good.
And we look there and there's a line of, I swear to you, probably 50 to 70 people standing in line.
For the cart.
Yes. I mean, the whole sidewalk was full of people standing in line to get this.
Mm.
So after we walked around for a while and we couldn't really find any good restaurant because, well, I'm sure there are good restaurants, but I'll go back to that in a minute. But we couldn't really settle on any restaurant. So we finally walked by there and we said, you know what? If there's so many people, we got to try this out, you know.
So you did it? You got in line?
So we got in line, you know. And
tourists.
We figured, yeah,
that's,
you see, there you go.
That's what happens.
And,
but no, it's like Pink's. It's like Pink's. People.
Yeah, Pink's hot dogs, yeah.
I'm like, I won't wait an hour for a hot dog.
Yeah.
But you did.
But what
me.
I'm saying is the lines were even longer than Pink's.
No.
If you can imagine.
No.
I'm telling you, a lot of people. Pink's is usually like 20, 25 people, I think.
But it's, no, it's long, Sam.
Yeah, it is long, you know, but it's all relative. That's what I'm saying. But look, at any rate, it was a lot of people where, for me, it was very difficult to stand in line there. But you know what? In 5 minutes we were there, they work really fast. There's like four guys working there. So we didn't even know what we were ordering, which is that line, you know, we didn't know what we were going to get.
That's so funny. But yeah, I love that. That's like a little adventure.
Yeah, you know, so we got to the front of the line and they have like gyros, you know, that
okay.
lamb
yeah.
and chicken, and it's chopped really fine.
Mm.
They put it on a bed of rice and salad and stuff. And this thing was just incredible.
Was it?
You know? It was really worth it, you know. And people sitting on the street there, you know, on benches, on you know, near the water fountains and everything, and eating this. It's just amazing. You'd never see it here.
Was it kind of like shawarma?
It is kind of like shawarma, yeah.
Okay.
But different. I mean, shawarma is like a whole different ball game, but they sort of like cook it the same, you know?
Okay.
On that rotisserie thing.
It sounds like really the excitement is, you know, you get all these people that are lined up and it's, you don't even know what it's for, so you jump in and
yeah.
you just all you know is you're like hypnotized by the smell.
Uh-huh.
And you said people are sitting wherever. I think it's what's exciting about, I mean, not having been there, but just the concept is experiencing life together
mm-hmm.
with people. Like
yeah,
it's like everyone's eating the same meal, and now we're all having the same flavors or close to it, and everybody's kind of rejoicing together. And I just see God in everything, so I look at that going, that's really beautiful, and it's like metaphorical mm-hmm. for, I think, how not to get over spiritualized, but that's where my heart goes with it, because there's a natural desire for living life mm-hmm. abundantly and in a way where there's so much fullness and experience. And so it's a stretch, but what I'm saying is, like, the heart of it, I think, is like heaven, because
yeah.
you're in line and you're, I don't know, we're gonna eat, and
yeah, it was,
and there's
exciting,
like,
you know?
Smells in the air, and there's just stimulus, right? So much
yeah,
stimulus, and
yeah.
then you sit down, and
everybody's just
sitting wherever they can just to eat this, and everybody's just so happy in that mm-hmm. little moment, huh?
Yeah, yeah,
isn't that
absolutely.
Great?
And the interesting thing is, you go across the street, there's another cart or two, and there's nobody there, you know,
oh,
maybe
man,
a couple
really?
People. So you have to wonder, you know, sometimes it's just like luck, you know? I mean, I don't know what else.
Or maybe
it
it's
be.
Just there's a great quality of food.
Yeah, but you know what? Look, I mean, I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like that great, you know, where, you know, but then again, I don't know, you know, it's just, like you said, I think it's that atmosphere as well of a lot of people wanting to eat this and they're all eating it together and stuff.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I can see what you say, you know?
Yeah, just even the, even just the energy of the collective energy.
Yeah.
Anytime you got like big lots of groups of people, there's going to be a lot of energy because everybody's together, and that can be either positive or negative. And there's a lot of different things like eating together that can be really positive. And especially when I'll do certain exercises, like I'll go to Santa Monica and do the stairs. I don't really talk to anybody. Sometimes I do, but it's just that there's so many people doing the same workout or variations of the same workout that you feel like you're kind of in it together.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of.
Well, yeah, kind of.
No.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Yeah, that's a good analogy, I suppose.
Well, it's just the collective thing. And the fact that, I mean, food is so much more enjoyable, I think, in its own way.
That's true, yeah.
Wow.
So we were going out the first night, and we wanted to find a good restaurant. So we walk around and stuff, and I don't know why, for some reason, we chose blocks that did not have a lot of restaurants.
Okay.
And so in the restaurants we did find... look nice, but then you look in the menu outside and you figure it's going to be like $75 a person before the tip, you know.
Oh, okay.
And then I go, you know, I can't bring myself to spend $150, $200 for an hour of anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, maybe go to a
hooker. Well, my roommate, my roommate,
but not to eat.
Claire and Tate are a married couple, good friends of mine, and Claire were roommates, but they are foodies, so they watch a lot of the Food Network, and they get really into a lot of chefs, and Tate is a great kind of at-home chef, you know, always does experiments with food and stuff, and they eat, and they go out to, like, when they're on vacation, they just got back from Lake Tahoe yesterday, and they went to some really nice restaurants. They go to New York, they go to nice restaurants, and so spending that kind of cash on really good food and the ambiance and the experience is kind of like an event that they enjoy. They don't just want to eat it or just kind of, they like to sit down, the ambiance, they like to know what's in the food, how it was prepared, and it's just, it is like, oh, what's spend $200 on like going to, I don't know what you'd spend $200 doing, but
that's what I'm saying. I mean, for $200 you could get so many things that would last you so much longer.
You can get
a nice watch, you can get a nice purse, you can get a nice pair of shoes and shit, you know?
Yeah.
And it would last you a while. I mean, this is for 1 or 2 hours, and you know what? There's no guarantee that the food there is excellent.
That's true. No, that's true.
It's just that New York generally is very expensive. A pack of cigarettes, $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah, here we pay $6.
Did you buy cigarettes?
No, I took some with me.
I know you're so Israeli. I love it. No, I mean, I don't know if that's true, right? Isn't that considered true? Like Jewish people are very frugal and very like.
Go ahead, say it. They're considered cheap, right?
No, I don't know about cheap. I was saying more like they're known for
not as much as they're described. I mean, Israelis I know spend a lot of money on a lot of things. They really know how to live it up. So I don't agree with that at all. No.
Well, I think you're probably right. I mean, there's probably there's probably certain people that fall in that category and people that don't.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying, in fact, it's the exact opposite. When I go to Israel, people celebrate all the time, spend a lot of money.
Okay, well, what about more Orthodox Jews? Because I know a lot of Orthodox Jews who are...
Well, they probably have to be frugal because they don't fucking work. You know?
Oh, yeah, they do. So, what are you talking
many
about?
Of them do not. They
They're
just
business
go,
owners.
Well, yeah, but many of them do not. They go and they study the Torah all day and all night, and they live off of the government.
You're so funny. Oh, really?
Yeah.
How do they live off the government?
And off of donations and stuff, you know, at the temple.
Well,
and,
I'm talking about people that are they're Orthodox. But, well, because I know a lot of people and a lady that I worked for, a great, great lady, but when it came time to... Well, part of her job is she's a office manager, so she her job is to be frugal and organized and save the company, you know, money. Mm-hmm. She has a lot of different duties, but that's one of the things that she does. But it's almost kind of like, and let's take it outside of Jewish, because I do know a lot of people of all different backgrounds that are very like I don't know, cheap or frugal but,
to a fault. Yeah, that's what I mean, though, is what frugal, is cheap, you know?
Yeah, frugal to a fault, where you can't enjoy anything because you're too worried about what it's going to cost.
Right.
And that can be its own issue. Like, some people on the other end are just not money conscious and just whatever, maybe throw money away and to their detriment. And then you've got people on the other end that, even though the society says, well, it's smart to save and to be, you know, on top of everything and put money away, I've seen people that are working so hard for a living and they're putting it all away that they're not even enjoying their living.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I do.
And that's kind of something that I've noticed. But I was working for this company, and they would validate my parking when I worked for them. And I worked for them about 2 or 3 months straight. And a lot of times I carpooled, so I didn't bring my car, and then I would run home, get a jog in. Mm-hmm. And so I saved them a significant amount of money over those 2-3 months of not having to validate my parking, because they have to pay for the parking.
Right.
And she was really grateful. And then one day I had to come in and I wasn't working to pick something up. And so I actually did park underground, and I brought my parking ticket, and had her, she was like, oh, you parked underground. And I said, yeah, can you validate it? And she looked at me like, you got to be kidding me. Do you realize you're not working today? And she looked at me like I tried to pull a fast one on her.
Really?
And she reluctantly did it. It was like, and she's a really beautiful, wonderful woman, but it just hit a chord with her that she was like losing some money because I wasn't working and she's validating my parking.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's been several months that I worked and didn't drive, so it saved them money. That's kind of why I like to live by the idea that you kind of have to kind of take the good with the bad and just kind of believe that it's all going to even out in the wash.
Yeah.
Like, not really like eye for eye, tooth for tooth, or keeping records of you did this, I did this.
Yeah, like splitting hairs.
Yeah, it just gets too much. And it's like, when does it stop? Because it takes away grace. People need grace, you know?
Yeah.
People need breathing room. But it was just funny.
No, absolutely. But I don't think we can make generalizations about everybody. I don't know what they live like, all those Orthodox, so I can't comment on it.
I'm just asking you because you're Israeli, and that is a stereotype.
I know, but I don't know how they... Yeah, it is a stereotype.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying, you know? It's like, but I don't know how they live. Maybe they are like that, but I can't say that we can generalize about them, you know.
You're just saying you've got a broad experience, obviously being Israeli and having a lot of different Israeli friends, and you're saying your experience suggests, or it says that, boom, everybody's pretty much more open with the finances.
Yeah, but you got to also understand that Israelis are very different from Jews that live, let's say, in the States, you know, because Jews here are Americans. I mean, there's a lot of influence here from America itself.
Yeah.
Whereas in Israel, it's sort of like a Mediterranean type of culture. So it's totally different. You know, the fact that both are Jewish means little when it comes to that.
Yeah.
You know, and many times you'll have Jews from here going to Israel, and they're like just blown away by the lack of politeness and... you know, the way people drive on the roads and the way people behave. Yeah. You know, like there's no lines for anything. It's just like everybody just congregates around something. So if you go and you want to get some shawarma or something, right? There's no line. I mean, there's just like a bunch of people grouping around, and, you know, whoever gets there first, you know, whoever's the loudest, whoever is the pushiest,
that's really crazy, man.
The food. And yeah, but you know, so you have to get used to it. It's not something that we live with here. You know. So
crazy.
That's why I'm saying, yeah, so it's hard to make generalizations about these things.
Yeah.
But regardless, you know, so going back to New York, you know, then they have like those honey roasted nuts and peanuts and stuff on the corners.
Yeah.
And it fills the air as well, you know. And you just go and you go, wow, I have to have some of this, you know. And they're hot. They're just like roasted and stuff, you know.
That sounds good.
Yeah, you know.
Did you eat a bunch of that?
So, yeah, we got some of that. But, you know, in hindsight, I told my wife, I said, we didn't really eat that much, you know. Usually you go there, there's a lot of bakeries and stuff. We didn't happen to walk by any bakeries, but often with the bakeries as well, you'll smell all the baking stuff, you know, outside, and you just have to have a croissant or some kind of a pastry or something, you know. But
that sounds good.
Yeah, but actually we didn't eat a lot, which was amazing, you know.
Really?
I did have a hot dog on the corner, which is a must in New York.
How was it?
It was good. a hot dog, you know? I mean, as long as it doesn't make you sick, it's good.
Yeah? You know? Well, they take hot dogs to a different level there, right?
Yeah.
They have hot dog wars,
they
and
do.
It's
they
intense.
Do. They have a lot of different kinds, yeah.
It sounds like the food carts and all like the more mobile, accessible food is kind of extremely its own competitive thing. It's not looked upon as this, you know, gross kind of roach coat.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
not
it's
at
looked
all,
at as know? Very good, sucky. It's like gourmet, convenient food, right?
Yeah. And, you know, you're seeing people eating on the street all the time, walking with food, and, mm-hmm. and they eat it. Here you don't see that, you know. So that's why I'm saying, you know, it's not that it's good or bad. I'm just saying that it's different, you know. So you go there, and you're, you know, you suddenly feel you wake up, you know. And you go, wow, you know, there's a lot of life going on around here, you know. A lot of cars, I don't suggest to anybody to drive in Manhattan. It's just crazy.
Is that where you guys stayed, Manhattan?
Yeah. And it's crazy because, you know, like you see what you see is a sea of yellow cabs. That's what you see there, and they drive like maniacs there. You know,
really?
Nobody stays in their lane. You know, people honk all the time. They drive fast in an area where everybody stopped. You know, what struck me is that emergency vehicles, nobody pulls over to let them through.
Are you talking about, like, ambulances?
Yeah, and ambulances and fire trucks and stuff. Nobody moves over.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Isn't that
they just have
the
siren going on. No, not there.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that not against the law?
I don't know, but there's police there all the time. Nobody gets pulled over because everybody does it.
So they're like,
nobody
well,
pulls over.
They're like,
yeah,
it,
so they're like,
you
know, and they somehow try to get through. But it's pretty difficult.
Aren't
to drive.
The streets just kind of smaller too, like more narrow?
Yeah, they are narrower, you know. But they are one-way streets, so
yeah,
so it's easier, you know. The avenues are wider, you know, than the streets. You know,
okay.
So everything's like a grid there in New York. You know,
okay.
You have the avenues, which are the big ones, and then you have streets like, you know.
I'm
first,
so primitive. I've never been there. I'm like.
No, that's okay. But you know, many people haven't been there, so it's.
Well, it's weird to say you've never been to New York because it's probably one of the most, if not the one of the most. I don't know, well-known cities in the world, and a lot of things are modeled after New York or compared to New York or, you know, that situation. So it's funny that it's in the U.S. and I've never been there. So I definitely have always been like, I've never been to New York. I don't like to tell people a mixed company that I've never been because they automatically look at you like, you know, have you heard of the wheel? Do you know that the world's not flat? You're not going to fall off? I kind of feel like there's that feeling of,
Yeah.
Have you heard of gravity? That whole thing. So I'm always like, I've never been to New York. I just don't tell people.
Yeah.
Less than
well, that's amazing. And I got to tell you, there's some of the most beautiful women in the world there. You know?
Oh, really?
And I
got to
tell you, although there's like a big, you know, like we have a lot of beautiful women in L.A. too, but it's not the same. You know how many women here are like phony and you know, breast implants and all that stuff.
Yeah, well, it's kind of the same look, right? More
yeah, exactly. And there, it's just like genuine beauty, you know, and you just see, you know, women jogging there and, you know, on a nice day, like weather like the weather that we had there, you know, they'll walk around in shorts and tank tops and stuff. And it's just like, what a sight.
Well, there's people in tank tops and shorts here all the time.
Yeah, that's true, but you don't see many of them, you know.
Really?
They're like.
Oh, you mean there? It's most people are covered up, so then there's like starts.
Not only that, but excuse me, you see them full bodied. I mean, you don't see that many people here. You see them in the cars and stuff, you know. But
I guess I go hiking a lot, so I see people down to nothing.
That's true.
Hiking, like shirts off, girls in sports tops, you know, just their bra and things like that.
Yeah, but you know, there's also more fashion there, you know, because there's winters there, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Winter fashions are a lot more.
I think more elaborate, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot more
there's
goes into it.
A lot more to choose from, you know. I mean, in the summer, what do you wear? T-shirt and jeans. You
Here's
know?
What I'm gonna say, just because I have to be opposing. I can't be too agreeable because it bothers me.
Uh-huh.
So this is from somebody that's not been to New York, but I'll just go off of generalizations for fun.
Uh-huh.
A lot of women there. Here we go. Ready? There's a lot of dark-haired people, right? It's more dark-haired people.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem as happy, to be honest. I have the idea that it's a very go-go place, a lot of stimulus, but that a lot of people are like wore out, run down, and there just doesn't seem, from what I've been told by a lot of people, is that like a lady, a good friend of mine, she has a place in Manhattan, and she said, oh my gosh, she's like, you'd have a great time out here, which I'd, again, love to visit. But she said the women are just so hard here versus, she goes, there's a lack of femininity. There's a lack of like softness because everybody's kind of, and I've experienced a more hardening since I've moved to LA. So I can only imagine if I lived in New York because you have to be more aggressive and you have to kind of, you know, like everybody's just trying to get a freaking, you know, hot dog, and you have to make sure you get in there and get your hot dog. Yeah. So I think what happens is the culture can harden women a bit. And so I think there's probably a little bit of this kind of everybody wears black and.
I don't know. I mean, I can't agree with that. Although I have to tell you though that when you go visit there, it's not the same.
Well, that's the same with LA. You come visit here, it's very different versus living here. And I think it's probably the same for any place. Like New York, you're probably you're not in the day to day grind. Like I've had a lot of friends and roommates that have lived there, and one of my friends, she said, it's such a hard place to live because. For example, she packs up her stuff for the day. She's going to a job, she's going to an audition, and then she's going to a rehearsal for something. Mm-hmm. So she used to pack up everything, and then her wool coat she has to wear. She gets on the subway, and she's like, if you forget something, you don't go back home. There's no, let me just turn around, I forgot something.
Yeah.
You're done. You forgot it. That's how it works. And you have to fight everywhere to get somewhere. And so the littlest tasks, over time, it just wears you out.
Yeah. Well, one example is when I was trying to hail a cab there.
I saw your Facebook. You're like, 20 minutes?
Yeah, 20 minutes. I mean, can you believe this?
And there's
in
like
New York?
A million cabs.
All you see is cabs. But at 6 o'clock in the evening, they were all busy. They were all full. And I'm standing there and I'm, you know, waving them down and stuff. Nothing. Nobody stops. And I'm going, what am I going to do now? You know?
You should have asked Dina to like flip her hair and put her thumb out.
But she wasn't with me at the time. I just got out of the conference.
So funny.
And with me, it wouldn't have helped if I posed or anything.
No, they wouldn't have.
Nobody sees
They'd
that.
They'd have been like, crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would have definitely not picked you up then. Did Dina have a good time?
Yeah, she had a great time. I went to the Talkers Magazine conference, which was a convention for talk radio throughout the United States. So, there were like a lot of famous people there too.
The New York, what was the convention called?
It was called the New Media Seminars.
New Media Seminars. Right. And so within that, there's different conventions, or what do you say?
No. It was just one convention. It wasn't huge or anything. You know, I would say maybe 300 people or something.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty small. It was like most people could fit into one big, you know, lecture room or something.
Yeah.
You know. And, so, you know, it wasn't that big or anything, but there were a lot of people from the industry, people that are here in L.A. on radio, people that are on radio in New York, and it was very, you know, I mean, some of the bigger names like G. Gordon Liddy, I don't know if you know him, but some people I'm sure do, Lou Dobbs, who used to be on
Lou
CNN,
and
now he's got his own radio show, Sean Hannity was there, who else did
was
I
Rush
see there?
There?
No, Rush wasn't there. He was there last year, though.
Okay.
And then people behind the scenes, too, you know, like program directors and things like that. So it was very interesting. You know, I really enjoyed it, you know, meeting people and things like that. So I didn't meet any of the big names, which wasn't really an objective of mine, you know, when I went there.
You just wanted
But yeah, I mean, the thing is, what I came away with is that with this station, definitely in the right place in the right time, and we're doing the right thing, you know, and that really made me feel good, you know.
You're so sweet. Sam is beaming right now. He just came back from a great trip, and he is just having a good time. He's got a little pep in his step.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm feeling good, you know. And I got to tell you, we got in last night at midnight. I only went to bed at 3 o'clock this morning.
You're doing good, Sam.
And I got up at 6:30.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
You're doing good.
I look awake and everything.
You look really awake.
Yeah, and I only slept 3 hours.
Yeah.
But I did try to sleep in the plane, but my wife claimed that I slept the whole time, but it didn't feel like sleep. I was aware of what's going on all the time.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, this was the most turbulent flight I've ever taken in my life, and I've flown quite a bit. This thing, the turbulence did not fucking stop.
Really?
The whole way. And a half hours.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Turbulence scares me. I'm not going to
turbulence.
Lie.
And we were sitting in the last row, you know, in the tail. Mm. And you usually feel all the shaking much more in the tail because it's a narrower area, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you look at the plane, you know, and it looks so long when you sit in the back. And you go, how the fuck is this thing going to stay in one piece? You know? I mean, the whole thing shakes. And you know what it feels like? Huh. The same feeling that you get when there's an earthquake, you know? Because suddenly the surface that you stand on is not steady anymore.
Oh, I know.
You know? And it's the same with the plane. I mean, obviously, you have the illusion you're standing on firm ground when you're on the plane in the
yeah.
air. But when it starts shaking like that and vibrating and everything, you go, oh, my God, you know. And I'm telling you, I didn't used to be afraid of things like this, but I was really starting to think, well, what happens if, you know? Because although, you know, we have like at any – did you know that at any time there's about 5,000 planes in the air in the United States?
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, most of them go through turbulence and nothing happens. But it's just a very scary feeling because you feel helpless. There's nothing you can do.
Well, I mean, turbulence makes me pray.
Yeah.
It makes me
pray. It does make you pray.
Or it makes me want to
like
drink.
Earthquakes.
Either way. No, it does because you just feel like, although the odds are you're not going to fall apart or anything, it makes you feel how fragile life is.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I have no control over anything right now.
Right.
I have no control.
Right.
I really think a lot of people, I mean, unless maybe you're a frequent flyer, like you fly every day and so it becomes commonplace, but mm-hmm. I think that like most people, when you're in the air, they have to probably think a lot about their mortality and mm-hmm. are you living your life right? Are you doing the things that you've dreamt about doing? How's your heart? I mean, I think about all that stuff pretty much on a daily basis, but especially when I'm flying.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh God, please forgive me for this. And I'm really yeah. sorry about this. I really did mean that. And God, please, please forgive me for this and just bless me here. I'm just praying that Jesus.
But if it's your time, it's your time.
It's your time, it's your time, which is why, you know what? The earthquake situation, I was a little freaked out, not going to lie. well, because I had a dream. If you guys had a dream that there's going to be a huge earthquake, and it probably will, we probably will have a huge one. And uh-huh. it's not because I'm gloom and doom, and it's just most of the geologists speculate that the next big one is going to be in LA because we're way overdue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like I'm some psychic. It's just predictability that it's going to happen. But earthquakes have been happening a lot more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
The big ones, even so, like almost daily, it's been happening somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was Chile, it was you know Haiti, then Chile, then there's one in Argentina, another one in Chile. It's been happening yeah. all over.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll deal with it when it happens. You know, what are we going to do? There's nothing.
I don't know.
Can do.
Just get a good earthquake supply. Say your prayers.
Yeah. Or know. Move out of LA.
Yeah, and I don't have enough gas money to do that.
We could put together $30 for you.
No, dude, it's going to be like $300.
Why?
To give to Texas?
Oh, you're going to drive all the way to Texas?
I'm not going anywhere now.
You can
now.
Drive to Vegas or something, you know?
Yeah,
3-4 hours you're there, and there's no
cash.
Earthquakes there, yeah.
Aren't there earthquakes?
No, there's no earthquakes
There's no
in
fault
Vegas.
Lines?
No.
Apparently, there's a lot of inactive fault lines. My friend was like...
Well, yeah, I mean, look, when the Northridge earthquake happened and we were in Vegas, we could kind of feel it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kind of, though. I mean, it wasn't that strong or anything. But, yeah, but
isn't
I mean,
that
they
something?
Don't get
Isn't that something
there.
That you're so far away and you could even just feel a bit of
yeah.
something?
Yeah, I mean, that's very powerful. It's even indescribable how powerful those plates and the pressure, you know, and who knows, you know?
I know.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, it's going to happen.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Everything's going to happen one time or another, so we might as well just get used to it, you know?
Well, I think it's good to kind of, you know, have a sober outlook at it and think about it and not live your life out of fear, but really consider, hey, you know, I'm not in that much control of my life as far as when I'm going to go and things like that. What am I in control of? What is my part?
Right.
That's what I think.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what I think.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break. We still have a lot to talk about.
A lot
so
of talk.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to LA Talk Radio Channel 1. Call in 943-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815.
I've been trying to find a situation to straighten out. If what you do is a good deed, perfect from your
the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Kara in the morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Indeed, a lot of shitty talk radio out there, but not here.
Okay, can we get down to it?
Only the best here.
Can we tell everybody the exciting news? Can you tell? Oh, listen, hold on. I'm not going to say anything, but this is what I'm going to say.
Yes?
You were supposed to bring me back a souvenir or a gift or a rich husband.
You know
whichever.
What? You're right.
Or a rich husband.
Yeah.
But listen.
You know what? I'm really bad with presents.
I'm not
never,
a pre. Don't
I
worry.
Never I never even think listen, about it.
Everybody knows I forget people's birthdays and I'm not a good gift giver. I'm just selfish.
Uh-huh.
So, but you brought back a very, 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 very awesome gift.
Right. And I texted to you as soon as I found out.
I didn't get the text.
I don't know how you didn't get it, but when you didn't reply, I said, well, maybe it doesn't mean much to her.
Are you kidding me? You kidding me? I would have been like, woo! Because when you told me, I was freaking out. I told everybody. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was like, ah! I was so happy. I was like, you guys aren't going to believe this. And then I have a lot of friends that are into talk radio. So I told them, and I told them, like, how many people were in the category. I mean, the people that were in there. And their jaws dropped, and we just did, like, a victory dance. And I'm even going to have, like, a celebratory party.
Awesome. Well, what we're talking about is when I went to the Talkers Convention over this past weekend, they came out with a new list of what they call the Frontier 50, a selection of outstanding talk media webcasters. And I'm going down the list and stuff. And first I saw Reverend Johnny Dam, calls himself Reverend, by the way. And he's got the show The Damage Report here on this station.
Mm-hmm.
And Johnny won last year as well. He was on the list. So I saw that. I was really happy for him. And then I continue going down the list. It's all alphabetical. There's no ranking or anything.
Uh-huh.
And I see Sam and Kara in the morning.
Woo-hoo!
LATalkRadio.com. And I was ecstatic. I mean, I was beside myself. I didn't know what to do.
Well, there's people on there and that don't know. Like, for example, there's people like Adam Carolla on there.
Right.
Sean Hannity's on there.
Sean Hannity on there.
I mean, huge, huge names.
Yes, very big names.
And then all of a sudden.
All of a sudden, there's Sam
and Kara in the morning. Woo! I was like, what? What does this mean? What does this mean? I get to walk into places and go, do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Yeah, I'm a celebrity now.
I'm not paying full price. Are you kidding me? You should be lucky I'm here. Press. I'm going to call the press.
Yeah. I'm on the cutting edge, you know? I mean, that's pretty much what it is.
Can you freaking believe it?
The Frontier 50. In other words, these are the people that are blazing the way.
We are blazing the way. And it's terrestrial radio, so it's pretty much global, right?
It's terrestrial and internet radio together.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
Yeah. Terrestrial radio is the regular
radio. Yeah, never mind. I don't mean regular radio. I mean, it's internet radio. So,
right.
I mean, it's...
It's internet radio mostly, but obviously they have people here that broadcast on...
both,
either,
right?
Yeah, either they have syndicated shows like Sean Hannity and, mm-hmm. and many of them. And then you have Adam Carolla, who used to be on local radio here,
uh-huh.
and now he does his own podcast from his own website.
Yeah.
So, you know, when they cut out everybody at 97.1 here in L.A., it used to be an FM talk station.
Oh,
and
it did.
He was the morning guy, and then they flipped into a music format, so everybody was gone. And what people are realizing now is rather than, you know, be bound by all these corporations that control radio,
yeah.
they're going to do it on their own.
I think that's so cool,
you know,
too.
It's amazing.
And then as far as funding, you just get sponsorship, right? And then if you do get sponsors, they pretty much know what they're signing up for. So you don't have to change your format or your style. They listen. They see that you have listeners or whatever.
Yeah.
And they say, yeah, we want to advertise on your site.
Yeah.
And does that make it more freeing as well?
It depends. You know, it depends if you have more listeners online or if you have less listeners online, mm-hmm. you know. Right now, internet radio is still not, you know, it's not as ubiquitous as, let's say, terrestrial radio
yeah.
and syndicated radio, but it's definitely on the way there, you know, and that's what I came away from with from this conference is that everything is moving to internet, you know, including
mm-hmm.
radio. And the traditional radio industry is in deep trouble now, you know. I mean,
mm-hmm.
advertising revenues are down. Listenership is down,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everything is more fragmented now. You know, people can get their entertainment from so many different places now that, you know, you've got to be everywhere for people to find you, you know.
Mm, yeah.
And it's a lot of work because there's a lot of competition, you know. So you got to work Twitter and Facebook and, you know, iTunes.
Well, it's interesting. Like, I called up my roommate. I said, hey, tune your radio to the station because I was listening to this program. It was in talk radio. Mm-hmm. She's like, what radio? She goes, I don't have a radio.
Yeah.
She goes, I'm not in my car, Kara. Like, I don't have a radio.
And exactly.
I was like,
nobody, other than in the cars, people don't listen to radio.
And I was thinking, you're right, radio. How stupid of me. That's so, like, 5 years ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe. I was like, tune it to the station. She's like, "What? Where's a radio hanging out in the living room somewhere?
I know.
Next to the record
Who's
player?
Who's got radios at home anymore, you know? So it's only in the car. And when you're in the car, you only catch a little bit of the show.
Yeah,
you know?
Until you get to where you got to be.
Until you get there. But on internet radio, people listen in the office, at home, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's coming to cars as well. But the point is that people listen while they're doing other things. And that's why I love radio so much, you know.
Mm.
Because you don't have to take out the time like with TV. You have to find time to watch it. With radio, you're doing other things. It's in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can do whatever you're doing.
Well, I think with the internet radio, too, is so much of it, you can download it onto your iPod or your iPhone or whatever. And I know, like, my friends listen to a lot of Rush Limbaugh when they're running and stuff. Well, some mm-hmm. of them do. Like, a lot of people that hate Rush Limbaugh, too.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people do. And there were some debates there on today's topics and stuff, you know, from hosts around the country and stuff. And it was really interesting, you know. They were talking about healthcare and everything else. So
for those of you guys that didn't get this, Sam and I are basically celebrities now.
Yes, we are celebrities.
And,
we're among, I mean, think about it. It is a big deal, like you said, you know. I mean, it's 50 people out of hundreds, maybe thousands of other people.
Well, yeah,
you know?
There's got to be more than that.
Thousands of people online.
Yeah, make it like millions. Make it sound better, like millions. Well, I mean, if you're looking at internet radio, there can be shows all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably tons of shows.
Yeah, except there's not that many talk radio stations on the internet, you know, that are meaningful, that are worth anything, you know. If
basically,
I do say so myself.
Yeah. That's so cool. I feel so confused and honored.
Yeah. So you guys will be able to see that if you just go to talkers.com. Although, if you look for the Frontier 50 now,
it's not updated.
Yeah, on the website, they haven't updated it to 2010, but it was definitely in the magazine, and we got the recognition, so it was very nice. It wasn't like an award ceremony or anything.
No,
you know,
but still,
I mean, we're in good company. You
still,
know,
what we're saying is we're kind of amazing, and what do we get out of this? We get like a little sticker or something?
Yeah, bragging rights mostly.
Bragging rights, which I will work that out.
Yeah.
And then we get like an emblem.
Yeah, we're going to get something to put on our website. And
I'm going to make jewelry out of
stuff.
It.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to get a shirt that has
make
it.
Make a t-shirt out of it.
I'm going to really put, we need to do something with this. I got to somehow make it sound a lot bigger than it is, although it is big.
Yeah.
But I want to make it into something huge and try to get free stuff out of it.
There
or
you go,
like that.
And you can too.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
I'm
going
to try to do that.
Yeah, just walk around with the magazine in your hand and mm-hmm. point it out to people.
I will.
See, Sam and Kara.
Well, it's so funny because I've only been on the show, a month and a half, and so I really think it probably is a lot of work that you've put into it, and I was like, I just happened to jump in at the right time.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's you who is part of the show now, and that's when they picked it, and they chose this name, so it's definitely as much yours as it is
mine.
And,
I'm so excited.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really excited about this. So to all our listeners, you see, you're not wasting your time. You're listening to one of the best shows out there.
Woohoo! So. I was jumping up and down. I call like everybody. I was like, so guess what? So anyway, so Sam went to New York, but whatever, that doesn't matter. But anyway, there was this thing called Talkers Magazine, and there's a 50 top, you know, webcasters, and people like Rush Limbaugh and like Adam Carolla are in it, and guess who else is in it? Sam and they're like, are you kidding me? I was like, no, we're kind of like a big deal. We really are. We're getting up there, guys.
Yeah,
stick with us.
We're
going to go places.
There you go. You see, and all this work, you know, the biggest thing about this is that you realize all the work you put in finally mm-hmm. pays off, you mm-hmm. know, and you get noticed and you get credibility. And
I mean,
stuff, and
all the work
like it,
that
you know?
I put in getting here, like, what, 10 minutes after 9?
Yeah.
Sitting here with barely any makeup on with Sam. It's paid off. Now, you've put in a lot of work in this whole station.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to listen to the Damage Report. I thought I've heard of the Damage Report before I started working here. I saw his blog name because I went through the station and I said, I thought I've heard of the Damage Report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Johnny has Johnny Dam, of course, at 2 to 4 every day Pacific
uh-huh.
time, right on this station. Great show. Always talking about politics, social issues, and
mm-hmm.
always has a lot of co-hosts and guests and stuff. So it's a cool show if you want to listen in the afternoon and stuff, you know?
Cool.
Yeah, amazing. So Johnny won it for a second time in a row, and I think that's amazing. You
that's
know?
Cool, yeah.
You know who also is on the list is Dr. Laura.
Dr. Lauren, she's freaking huge deal.
Yeah, she's a huge deal.
Has she moved to internet now?
I think what they do is, you know, some of them have like simulcast or something.
Oh, okay.
You know? So they go, many people on terrestrial radio are going online now because they realize that's where it's going, you know.
Yeah.
And one of the best advantages of this is you reach the entire world, like you said. You know, it's global.
Mm-hmm. What do we have, listeners? You said we've got a lot of listeners in China.
Yeah, I just got an email the other day from someone in Saudi Arabia, you know.
What?
A shout out to Abdullah, man.
Shout out to Abdullah, Saudi Arabia. What's up? Okay. Who's our other thing?
Arthur in Poland.
In Poland.
And then we have Miha in Slovenia.
Miha in Slovenia. Let's work it out. Hey.
And you know who hasn't called the show? You never talked to him, but we used to have a guy from Iran. And he was a listener, an avid listener. And he'd call all the time with his really heavy accent and stuff, with all his conspiracy stories about what's going
really?
On. And his name was Mo, and he would call from Oregon. And he was like the funniest. And Mo, if you still listen, man, you got to call in sometime. You know, he was like lot of fun. Yeah.
Oh,
and then
really?
He stopped calling.
Well,
I don't know what happened.
Cool name, Mo.
Yeah. Maybe well, somebody, it's Muhammad.
Well, somebody, maybe, hopefully they, you know, didn't go after him because he's calling in. All, conspiracy theories.
Yeah, with all the conspiracies and everything.
They're out to get him.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of fun, man.
It is. It is. I'm really proud.
No, I'm serious. Let's pimp this out. So, like, you know, hook me up with gear or whatever. I for example, okay, so this is what I did. Mm-hmm. Ready?
Right.
For those of you guys that don't know, which is everybody, mm-hmm. I, this last week, have had some major food cravings. I normally try to stay away from the bread stuff unless I'm, like, going out with friends or, you know, breads and carbs and sugars. I try, quote-unquote, to not eat it that much unless it's, like, a fun throwdown or celebration or whatever.
Yeah. So do you mostly watch what you eat?
I mean, I watch it as I put it on my fork and in my mouth.
Hey. Yeah.
No, hey, as I'm adding salt and pepper to that damn thing. No, I try not to eat it constantly, but you know, I'm pretty open about what I eat. It's just generally, if I can, I try to stay away from too much bread and sugar because I know I'm going to eat it later. Does that make sense? Because
right.
I know I'm going to probably go out with friends or somebody's going to have a birthday because it seems like everybody's having something going on.
Right.
So if it's just me, I usually stick to a lot of protein and just, but whatever. It's not even that I'm that strict.
Right.
However, this last week, mm-hmm. I was having some major cravings. Like, I don't know what it is. I think I'm about to start my period serious.
Yeah.
Because I was like, just like hungry, wanting to eat everything and eating bread. It would just give me some freaking wheat, throw it in my mouth. I ate, one day I couldn't handle it and I ate a whole pizza like at night by myself,
really?
Which is intense.
What size pizza?
It wasn't that big. It's one of those frozen pizzas that are from California Pizza Kitchen.
Like a personal pizza.
It's a little bigger than personal.
Right.
It's probably like more for...
It's enough for two people?
For two people. Right. But I tow it up. It was thin crust. It wasn't a whole lot of... It was thin crust, but
right.
I ate that thing hardcore like a starving orphan girl and just, you know, salivate. And I even got out the ranch. Right. I got a side of dipping ranch and then I was like so into it, I folded the pizza over like a sandwich and was like, don't dipping it in the ranch. I was eating it, and I was like, normally I don't, when I'm alone, I tend to eat pretty easy or lean, and when I'm with friends is when I'm like, okay, celebrate,
right.
And
you go crazy.
Yeah, and I was by myself, which was weird, eating like that, so I thought maybe I had a problem for a second, but no, I had such a good time eating that pizza, but then I was like, why did I eat like crazy this week, just not a whole lot of food, but I was just eating tons of carby stuff,
right.
And I just think it was cravings, you know, whatever, cravings, and I heard on the radio that the LA Marathon was going to be on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying I want to do a marathon forever. I've been saying I want to, for those of you guys at home, I do run. I run anywhere from 5 to 10 miles, and sometimes I'll run, you know, less miles, and it'll be in trails, like in the hills and in hiking. So I'm pretty good with running. And
right.
I've ran 13 miles before, which is half the length of a marathon. And endurance-wise, it's not that hard for me.
Mm.
If you just get a good pace going.
How many
going,
miles was that?
13 miles.
13 miles.
13
That's
miles.
Half. Okay.
And the length of a marathon is 26.2 miles.
Right.
Ridiculous, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I was thinking, well, I have all these carbs I've eaten all week. I had a chicken burrito. I had a BRC from El Pollo Loco, beans, rice, and cheese burrito. Mm-hmm. It was a buck. I had a burger this week, and I ate a whole pizza. I was like, well, I'm freaking carbed up.
Yes.
I've got fuel in my body. I can freaking do this marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the marathon sold out, So even if I had the money to pay for it, which I didn't, but even if I did...
How much did they charge for it?
It's $125.
$125, okay.
Which is expensive for getting to run. They should pay you to run that amount. Like, hey, can I pay to freaking almost die?
Yeah.
Is that cool with you guys? Here, take my money so I can almost kill myself. Or possibly. And so I thought, well, I'm going to sneak in and just start running with these people and see if I could do it.
Yeah.
I didn't really come up with a game plan. I didn't know how I was going to get back from Santa Monica. I live in Hollywood. I knew I couldn't drive anywhere and drop my car off because the parking was going to be either crazy. It started at Dodger Stadium, and it went from Dodger Stadium down down to Hollywood, Hollywood Boulevard, Sunset Boulevard. Then it went through Beverly Hills. Then it went through kind of Brentwood area. And then it went all the way around Brentwood to Santa Monica. So I just waited.
Doesn't it end in downtown?
No, it ended at the beach.
Oh, really?
Santa Monica.
Because when we were there a couple of years ago, it ended downtown.
They changed the route.
And you couldn't even get to our studio that
day. Yeah, it changed. The path changed this year. And,
I see,
and they're trying to make it a much faster marathon, which means more flat running because people can have lower times.
Right.
So it's probably one of, not of course the Boston Marathon is probably the most famous one, but LA Marathon is one of the most famous ones. And there, I mean, I don't know how many people, it was it 30,000 people, something like that?
Really, that many?
Something about.
Wow.
So I was just, I went to bed, and so the night before I polished off a box of macaroni and cheese, and I had a piece of chocolate, and I was like, okay, I'm ready for this damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't trained. And so I went to bed thinking, I don't know if I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'll get caught. I don't know, because I went on their website, and they said if you don't have on the paper,
number,
number, then they're going to ask you to get off the court.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but technically there's 50,000 people or 30,000.
Right.
They're not going to be looking. And then by the time they see you, you're going to be running your ass off.
Yeah.
But
unless you're winning, and then you stand out from everyone. And
yeah,
because
I'm going to really win. I'm going to really win. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm not from Kenya. And so I waited for it to get near Hollywood, which was about 9 miles in, somewhere around 9 miles. And I just ran from my house, and I ran down to Hollywood Boulevard, and I just saw the sea of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I'm doing this. So I kind of like walked on the side with my headphones. I had all my gear on, and I was like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And these guys were at outside of a restaurant. They're like, why are you running? And I was like, because I don't want to, I'm not registered. They're like, just jump in. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, here I go. And I jumped in, and I was actually, probably should have waited. I was probably more in like the 8.5, 9 minute mile group, which is very fast for, in my opinion, for doing long distance. I'm more around 10 and a half minute miles because it's 26 freaking miles.
Yes.
You know? So I was running with these people, and they're already like 9 miles in, and I was running and I was getting tired. So I, you know, stopped, and you know, you stop, you walk, you stretch, and then you start running up again. But I kept getting nervous, so I kept getting off the track and jumping on the sides, and every time I saw like a cop, there's tons of cops everywhere, I was like, oh my gosh, they're gonna find me, they're gonna ask me to get off the road. And then I was like, this is stupid, Karen, nobody's gonna even know, there's so many people,
and even if they do, they'll just ask you to
know. I was just nervous, like I said, it's driving without insurance. I kept looking over my side. I kept trying to get in the middle and hide behind people. I was like, you can't do this, just either do it or don't. And I felt bad that I didn't pay, like I was a fraud, but then I was like, whatever, I'm running it just like everyone else. So I went through the water lines, had the free water, the Powerade, and the pretzels or whatever it was that they were dishing out. And then it's fun because you go through the water line, you drink it like you're like freaking Rocky, and then you throw it down on the ground, and you get your orange peel and you throw it on the ground, and everything was on the ground, you just threw it, and you're like, and I had all my headphones, I had Lady Gaga on, and I was running. So I was running, and I got about 8 miles in, and I felt my left knee was starting to hurt, and it was only 8 miles. And see, the thing is I didn't have, my shoes were, have already been way too worn out to be doing this kind of length. I work out in them a lot, and I knew going into it that my shoes were weak, and I was like, whatever.
See, if you had told me, I would have gotten you a pair of shoes.
Well, I didn't know I was going to do it till the night before.
Yeah.
It was one of those, like, I'm not sure if I'm gonna do this until I decided, oh, I had a pizza, two burgers, a chicken burrito, and a box of macaroni and cheese. I'm doing the damn marathon.
Right.
It's not going to work itself off.
Yeah.
So 8 miles in, knees hurting, and I thought, okay, just stop, walk a little bit, stretch. I did that a few times, and then I just kept running. And my friend, you know, Sarah was going to pick me up, and then she was like, oh, I don't think I can pick you up from Santa Monica. And I had an opportunity to just turn around and go back to Hollywood, and I was like, no, just do it and figure it out later. Because it's so exciting.
Yeah.
You don't think running is exciting, but again, when you have 30,000 people doing the same thing, and everybody's in different fitness levels, and everybody's hurting, and I know it sounds funny, but everybody's striving and pushing themselves. There's old people doing it, there's young people, there's kids, there's all these people doing it. Some people are doing it for like breast cancer or for family members. Mm-hmm. There was one guy that was pushing his friend in a wheelchair mm-hmm. and had him in like a sports wheelchair who had some kind of injury. And right. he was running the whole time. Him and a friend took turns pushing his friend. Mm. And you just feel so elevated and you feel like, wow, what is my body capable of doing? And a good friend of mine runs marathons all the time. And his first marathon, I think, was the LA Marathon. And he didn't train for it either. Now, he's a runner like me, but he didn't train 26 miles train. Mm. And so he said he ran the first half without stopping, which I think is stupid. He ran the first half and he busted out and he's like physically couldn't go any further. So he had to walk the last half. And he said, you won't believe the kind of pain you're going to be in. And I thought, whatever, I'm starting at the ninth mile, 17 miles. That's still about 5 miles, 6 miles over what I've done before. So I keep going. And then finally, I got to the 20th mile and mile marker 20. Mm-hmm. And I was like in so much pain.
Really?
And I thought, oh, I've only got.
So that was 11 miles for you.
Yeah. With the shoes that I had, I was like, I was in so much pain. And I thought, oh, it'll be quick. I've only got 6.2 miles left.
Right. What was the pain? Your knees, your foot,
It was
feet?
In my ankles.
Yeah.
My ankles, my feet really bad. And not just the bottom of my feet, but I kind of have flat feet. So I didn't have the arch support that I needed. So my ankles were rolling in a bit and my knees were hurting. And then you don't realize it till later, but your back starts to hurt. Mm-hmm. And you know, okay, I have big, huge boobs, right? You don't take boobs
I've
like
never
this.
Noticed.
You don't take boobs like this on a 26.2 mile run. You just don't. You don't do it to yourself. I had them strapped in hardcore. I had one really, really, really good sports bra, and then I actually wore a regular bra underneath that just kept them like super supported. So what happens though is they get pushed up really, really, really far up because I don't want them to like boom, 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 boom. So they just kind of bounce on the top. They're not like bouncing down. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's a little bit ridiculous, but it works.
It works.
But over, 15 miles, 17 miles, all that bouncing, it actually affects.
You feel it, huh?
You feel it hurts your pectoral muscles.
Really?
So my actual pec muscles hurt. Uh-huh. And then my the muscles on my top of my shoulders hurt where the bra was having to hold.
Yeah.
So weird stuff hurt.
Yeah.
My abdomens hurt. My side obliques hurt.
Right.
And then I pulled muscles in my right leg, the back part of your knee, all those bones of those muscles, the tendons there.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I crawl across the finish line. I mean, I had to stop and like just sit down on the ground for about 15 minutes for one point. I couldn't even go. And then I crawl across the finish line. Of course, I don't get a medal or anything because I'm a fraud. I'm like a little marathon sneak. And so then I finish, and I was grabbing snacks and everything. I was like, I saw people. I was like, because they kept giving me water. I was like, I'm over the damn water. Give me a burger or something. I need some freaking energy. So I saw this lady was passing out these power bars, and I ran across, and I was like, grabbed a couple of those bad boys, trying to eat them when I was running, and it took energy to like, chew through it. So I just kind of drooled on it when I was running. I was like, just drooling on my power bar, hoping that some of the food would get in there because I was hungry. So I crawl across the finish line. I'm done, and I'm in so much pain. I can't explain to you, and I'm still in pain today.
Really?
And I found that when I stopped to rest. And I felt good resting. As soon as I stood back up, it was harder to walk because it's starting to tighten up.
And
then I didn't have a ride back from freaking Santa Monica to Hollywood. I didn't know what to do. I was like, well, this is what you do when you don't plan. You don't have a backup plan. Because all my friends, two of my friends were on a plane getting back from Tahoe. Sarah was doing a fundraiser. One of my friends, she had commitments. The other person was out of town. I mean, everybody was either way far away. Some of my friends have kids and they're too many responsibilities. So I wasn't going to call them. And it's in Santa Monica. So it's going to be a really, really long drive.
Right.
So anyway, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to walk back. So now I'm in Santa Monica. I just finished running 17 miles and I'm walking back to Hollywood.
What?
I'm like,
are you serious?
Yeah.
You decided you're going to walk?
Well, I didn't have any other option. I didn't have a ride. And I was like, this is stupid, but whatever. Yeah. I'll have a good story to tell people. So I'm walking in Santa Monica. I'm on Santa Monica Boulevard, just thum, thum, thum,
wow.
thum, I felt like a homeless person.
It didn't occur to you take a bus maybe or something?
I didn't bring any cash, so I didn't have any cash on me.
How do you leave the house without cash?
Well, it was called 7 in the morning, and mm-hmm. it was called, like, grab your keys, do it, and just didn't bring any. And I figured,
I figured if you're crazy enough to run that far, you're probably crazy
you're
enough
probably
to leave
crazy.
The house without cash.
You're probably crazy. And I was thinking I was going to have a ride. The story gets better. So finally, I make it to the 405.
Are you serious? So, wow, that's quite a walk.
It is quite a walk. And I was in so much pain, and I was hungry, and I didn't have any money, and I was so hungry. It was just it was interesting because I'm like, I'm in so much pain. I probably smell really bad. I look like a homeless person. I feel homeless, and I don't have any cash, and I'm so hungry. My feet hurt. And I saw one of those frozen yogurt places, you know, where they give you samples. So I went in there. I was like, I need something. I was like, I need something bad. So the girl, thank God, she gave me like three of the sample cups. Uh-huh. And it said not to reuse your sample cups, but I had three of them. So I sampled so many different yogurts, and I used each of my cups like two or three times, and to where each cup like was overflowing with. And so I basically had six mini little ice cream cones.
Yeah.
And I was like, eating it real fast, as you can see.
Oh my God.
And and my hands were all sticky, and it was dripping down. And I was like, basically, it looked like I was just like chugging all this frozen yogurt.
Whoa.
But it was good, and it hit the spot. And I mean, and then I was walked out and didn't buy anything. I'm like, sorry, and then just had to go. I didn't have any cash.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, probably if people knew that you ran the marathon, a lot of people were doing a lot of free things for marathon runners, but I didn't have the thing, so I didn't.
Which makes me think you should have printed one, you know?
That's what my friend said. She said you probably could have found like a Honda, because Honda sponsored it and so did K-Swiss, and I probably could have got their logos and made one. Whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
So then so Sarah ended up picking me up. She was on her way back, and she picked me up right around 405 in Santa Monica Boulevard.
Wow.
It was an interesting night,
you
but
got
I could barely
really lucky.
Walk.
I mean, What would you have done if she wasn't around? You would have kept on walking?
I would have had to
You're
stop.
You're crazy. What about hitchhiking or something?
That's even crazier. I could get in LA, I don't think that's
cool. But during
cool.
daytime, and maybe a woman would have pulled over, so you never know. You
I
know?
Don't know. I just figured it would work out. It did. It worked out.
Yeah.
So
good for you.
Yeah. And then so I got home, and I was... It's funny. I just wasn't hungry anymore, mm-hmm. and I thought I should be really hungry. I'm not hungry. I didn't eat that much, mm-hmm. and I felt not that hungry. But I mean, even right now, I'm feeling so much better. But I took an Epsom salt bath, which takes out the lactic acid and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and then I made some chicken and pasta, and I started feeling sick. All of a sudden, I started feeling nauseous.
Yeah.
Like, why do I feel nauseous? It's just weird because your body is not made to go
exactly.
that
You're not
hard.
Used to it, you know, and it starts reacting in
funny
ways.
Yeah, it's like your body. So I woke up this morning and I feel sore in the weirdest places. Like I feel sore in my back muscles, my obliques.
Right. But it's good pain, huh? It's like
no,
working
some of
out,
it,
no?
some of it's good. Some of it's like some of it's oh, you worked out hard, and some of it's bone pain. Because what I realized was, honestly, endurance-wise, my running capability, I was not hurting. I mean, I could have kept running, but my body wouldn't allow me to because I didn't have the right shoes on, and it was, you know, I was about, you know, 17 miles. My body was just like, no, I didn't. I probably should have stretched a lot more in between, like taking more breaks and stretched.
Right.
And I didn't have the right shoes on. But honestly, it wasn't endurance. It was physical. Your legs won't move anymore.
Right.
Like it hurt to, and especially when I sat down last night, it hurt to cross my legs, to even pick up my leg to put it on top of the other leg.
Right.
Isn't that weird?
It is. It is. But I mean, you know, now I feel like, you know, when we were walking there after the first day in New York, when we were walking, I could not move anymore.
Oh, really?
You know? I felt like I can't make it back to the hotel. And now you're talking to me about running 17 miles.
And then walking back.
I mean, I can't believe it. I simply can't believe it.
I can't believe I did it either. But there's this great song by Chris Allen, and it's like, it's talking about live like you're dying. Oh, like you're dying. Oh, like you're dying. It's like basically if this was your last day, like live like you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And not that that's like my main motivation was this pop song. But I like this song. Mm-hmm. And it did play a part of me kind of realizing there's stuff you say you're going to do in your lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And there's things you always want to try. And it's not about winning. And it's not about being the best. But it's kind of just seeing what you're made of and experiencing life to the fullest in some ways. And What's interesting is I posted about it on Facebook and people were like, just do it. Just do it. Go for it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, what do I have to lose? Maybe a couple pounds. I'm fine with that. Shit. Freaking hope I lose a bunch of pounds. I got a bunch of pizza and stuff. I need to work it out. And I think it's not about being the best. It's like ordinary people doing extraordinary things. It's
right.
taking an ordinary person and realizing you can do a lot more than you realize. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I felt like.
Yeah.
I mean, I did bite off way more than I could chew, but there's something about that's fun. It's like an adventure.
I admire people that can run that far, you know, because I couldn't, you know. First of all, it bores me a lot. And besides, you know, I'm a smoker, so running is not one of my favorite things. But even when I wasn't, I never really enjoyed running.
Well, most people
because
don't.
I felt it was hard, you know?
Well, it is. But I think what's interesting, and it doesn't have to be running, but I use running as an example. If you take 1 mile and you walk 1 mile and then you go, okay, I'm going to try to run as much as I can till I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stop and you walk. And then you say, okay, in 10 minutes, I'm going to do more. And the next thing you know, you're running a whole mile without
right.
stopping. And
right.
then if you build on it. It's a building process. But the thing that people don't understand about running that don't run is that running produces a lot of endorphins and a lot of the feel good. You just feel so good after you run.
Right.
So it's addictive. So your body craves it because it releases all these great...
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So when you're sitting on the couch or you're not being that active mm-hmm. to where your body's having those endorphins, you're not going to crave it. Whereas if you start doing it,
mm-hmm.
you're going to actually start craving it. Like Sam, you could do a marathon. I know you don't believe you can.
Yeah.
But if you gave yourself 6 months or a year, you could do a marathon.
Really? Like to train and stuff,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Yeah. From no miles. They have training programs where you start off with as a beginning runner, like mm-hmm. no, and you start off with, and the way I did it, and I'm not even trained fully for it, is I did a walk run method, which I ran a few miles, I'd stop, you know, stretch, and then walk. I should have stretched more.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you walk a little bit, and then a lot of people, what they do is they run until it gets to the next water station, and so it's every 2 miles is a water station.
Right.
And some people run through the water stations, and some people walk. And I pretty much did a combination of walk and run. So every mm-hmm. 2 miles, you kind of get a little bit of a walk in through the water station.
You see, you mentioned bones. I just can't imagine that it would be good for your bones, you know, all this running and stuff.
Well,
you know, a lot of impact, a lot of, you know, your knees, your
26
feet.
Miles is not natural to run, and it's not something you want to do, like, daily, monthly, or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, building up to do it once a year is not bad.
Mm.
And you're gonna take some kind of, you're going to be sore after it. And, I mean, that's part of the game. You're going to push it to where... the thing with, there's a myth with running. People think that running is really, really bad for you. No, running on untreated injury is bad. Running without great shoes and support is bad for you. But it's really not bad for you. Other people think running causes the problems. Really, it's injury that's already there, or it's not great support that causes problems. Like, honestly, if I had trained and had the right shoes, I probably would have been okay.
Mm.
Yeah, but I would have been much better. But the reality is, I mean, 26 miles is not natural. I mean, we're looking at 5 hours of running, which is...
See, I think it's more psychological, if
it
anything,
is psychological.
You know? So
it's psychological.
I salute you for that, yeah.
Well, I mean, for me, again, I didn't do 26 miles. I was 9 miles off.
Right.
If I had to add 9 more miles to that, I couldn't have done it.
No?
No, because, well, I was at the end of my 17 miles. I was walking because of my legs hurt so bad.
Right.
So I can't imagine... Unless I had the right shoes, I could have done it.
Yeah.
Because I was done.
Yeah.
I was done.
So next year, maybe you can train.
Yeah, I'm going to train.
Shoes,
I'm gonna,
you know?
Yeah. I'm going to train, and I'm gonna do it. Because I know I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I can do it.
Yeah, you're a runner. I mean, for crying out loud, if you can't do it, who can, you know?
Well, I'm excited, though. I really want to do it. And then I want to do a triathlon. Because those are exciting. I worked an event that's a triathlon, and it was for Toyota. And, I mean, it's just, you can feel the endorphins of other people. You can feel the energy. It's a almost a, right under a mile swim, and then it's a bike run. I mean, a bike ride. I can't remember. Is it 15 or 20 miles you ride your bike?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a 6 mile run.
Yeah.
And I mean, you bike, you swim, bike, run, and you train in all areas. And I just think that's got to be pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
These people swam in the ocean too.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And they came back. I mean, everybody's just a winner at that point.
Yeah.
You're just finishing it, you're a winner.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. I totally want to do that.
Yeah. You should listen to the triathlon show we have here on the station.
Yeah, I actually did.
Did you?
Yeah.
It's pretty cool, huh? It's very popular, by the way.
Yeah, I wanna start listening to that. They've got the LA Tri Club you can start getting in training with, and then they've got like for running, they've got the LA Leggers, and then they've got Run LA and the Road Runners, and then there's a lot of local groups. I do little runs with local groups, like 3, 4, 5 miles, things like that.
Right. What about biking? Do you like riding bike?
That's not my huge thing. Yeah. I think it hurts your butt, those little seats. And then a lot of times you have to – I don't really – actually, this is one thing I don't really like the most. I'd rather run or swim.
Right.
I don't really like the biking. And so doing triathlons is more of an affluent sport because of the gear. It does cost a lot of money. So, again, that's going to be in the future when I'm making the cash. Mm-hmm. But you need your wetsuit. Then you also have to get the gear, and you have to get the right bike. And the shoes, I mean, not a big deal.
Yeah.
You get shoes. But it does add up. I mean, it can get really expensive if you get really good gear.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People get really expensive bikes and stuff. But if you're just doing it to do it, you don't need a super expensive bike. You just need the appropriate bike.
Right.
You just need the basics.
And what about for fun? I mean, you don't like cycling for fun?
I don't have a bike, and I think if I had, like, for fun, it would be more like a beach cruiser, right?
Right.
And you get a big-ass seat where you can kind of sit back, put her in neutral, kind of, you know, barely pedal and just...
That's a lot of fun. Though.
That's fun, yeah. But I mean actually hitting the road, because I used to be a swim teacher and I didn't have a car, and I would ride my bike in Texas to my job, and it was around 14 or 15 miles. But on a bicycle, that's not that much.
Mm.
It's still a little bit of a good workout, but it's not like a lot of miles.
I see.
So I would ride my bike doing that, and... It was good, but it wasn't anything I craved. Riding your bike, no. Mm. And here's what one of my friends told me. She does spin class. You know about spinning?
Yes.
I've only done it once. I'll never freaking do it again. It's awful.
Really?
It's not fun at all. Yeah. She's like, oh, let's do some spinning. I'm like, that's like, you know how you said some running in? That's what I think of spinning. I'm like, this is disgusting. I don't ever want to do this. It's hard. It's like aerobics on crack. You're like, and everybody's going nowhere, spinning real fast like a damn hamster. I can't handle it. So she got really into it. And one of the things she said was, you know, the biker shorts, the tight shorts, and all the heat, you know, from running. She said that, like, you have to watch out because your bikini line, your freaking pubes, can grow, like, more and further down your leg because of the heat, and it just generates hair growth.
Really?
And I was like, that is disgusting. I will never freaking do that.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I will not do an exercise I already hate on top of it knowing I can get, like, a huge bush out of it. I'm not... freaking doing that. Now, maybe that's not true, but that's what she said. And I said, that's what she said.
That's
and
funny.
And so I was like, nope. It's another reason I will never do that. So, yeah.
All right. Let's take another break. We'll be back right after this.
You are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio.com. lines are open on Sam and Karen in the Morning. Pick up your phone and jump in on the conversation. Dial 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815 and get in on the fun. Now, let's get back to Sam and Karen in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Did you hear the story about Sandra Bullock's husband?
Dude, I am not happy.
No?
I am not flipping happy about that. We were just... Okay, here's the thing. Sandra Bullock is obviously beautiful. Mm-hmm. She's so talented. But what I love so much about her is that she's beautiful, but she's so accessible. And she's funny and witty. And she seems so selfish. She's just not a weak girl.
Right.
She knows herself. She's down to earth. And all of her interviews, she's got charm. She just seems like a very strong woman that's not overbearing, but strong and beautiful. And
you don't think that's an impression you get from her movies? Or
her movies, but her interviews. I mean, she's been – I've seen interviews where she said – she goes, I'm never going to believe my own hype. And she said things like, she's very humble. And she says when you start really – buying into your own hype, I'm paraphrasing in my own words, you start buying into your own hype is kind of when you start kind of losing it. And she said, I never expected to have a career that was going to be this big or in this way. And she didn't expect it. And she's very grateful. And I just think she's witty and funny and really down to earth and beautiful. And I just love the fact that there's this woman out there who is kicking ass and is self-assured, and not a lot of men could be with a woman like that because she's strong and very unique in that way. And then you look at the guy that she married, Jesse James, who he is just, I was looking at them. It's so funny this happened because I was looking at them on the Oscars going, that's a hot man. Yeah. He's all like tattooed up and big and husky, and yet he's like in his suit, and he's like, I'm like, go Sandra. And I was like, that is a good little power team right there, because he's strong too. He's not like a lot of weak men like strong women,
right?
Because they don't want to have to be the leader, and they want a mother or something,
right?
And I love seeing like a strong man with a strong woman. And a lot of men like weak women too, because they want to be able to control and dominate.
Right. I think when both are strong, you have a lot of problems.
Well, I mean, if it's the right, it still has to be the same ratio where he's a leader in his way and she's a leader in her way, and each one respects their strengths and weaknesses. So the whole idea is being a good fit, where you kind of pick up the slack where the other person doesn't, and still being the woman and him still being the man doesn't mean the two of you can't be strong. It's just you can't do each other's jobs. You need to let the person be who they are and vice versa.
Yeah.
And
now, why do we know this guy's name? I mean, did he do anything?
Jesse James?
Yeah.
He's like, he's big into the, I think, motocross racing, isn't it?
Oh, is that what it is?
I think it is. He's extreme sports kind. Oh, let me see what he does. Mm. What is this thing? Jesse James.
Let's see. I mean, he's, I don't know. I never even heard of him, you know, and suddenly it's like everybody talks about Jesse James. I mean, I heard of him before this incident here with his wife, but He says the vast majority of the allegations are untrue and unfounded. Yeah, but obviously he did stoop that girl, so I don't think he's denying that.
Well, he's also a host of a TV show on Spike TV called Dead Man. But he was an off-road racing, truck racing, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a lot of extreme sports type things.
I see.
I also think he's been kind of an icon for the sports arena and the kind of the off-road racing, and he's tattooed up and hosting shows, and so he's kind of like an icon in that way.
Yeah.
But he's like, I was like, man, that guy's good looking.
You like tattoos?
I've never been a tattoo girl, but there's, and I don't just like tattoos for the sake of tattoos. I'm just not into body art.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes on guys, it's kind of sexy.
Really?
Yeah, in like a bad boy kind of way.
Right.
And I don't even think I've dated guys with tattoos. Mm. No, I don't think I have. But yeah. I mean, yeah, I think there's something kind of rugged
really, that's
and sexy
interesting.
About
but
it.
But I guess, yeah, some women do find it attractive.
Yeah, I'm not into them myself personally, but sometimes, you know, seeing a man tatted up can be attractive. I don't like it all filthy where they look like they're on heroin and they're like tattoos. I don't like it like that. But he just looked amazing at the award show. He looked so proud of her. They did a close up of his face when she won. It looked like he was gonna cry.
Right.
They don't seem like the quote unquote typical Hollywood couple. So there seemed to be. I thought, wow. I mean, he is really supporting her, and they've got a really great relationship. I think even in her acceptance speech, she did give recognition to him. So it really chaps my ass that he was off with another woman.
Yeah. A tattoo model, actually. She claims to have had a month-long affair with Jesse James. And so he goes around apologizing to his wife and children for my poor judgment.
I think she was paid something like $30,000 to spill the news.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Something
but
like
they're
that.
Saying that Sandra left the family home just days before, excuse me, before the allegations surfaced.
I think that he probably told her.
But either that or she probably, I mean, it may have only surfaced now, but I'm sure she knew about it going on. This is funny because I'm just reading a, you know, ashamedly, I'm reading a book by Jackie Collins. Okay.
Okay. I know you've got a romance fetish. Okay. Yeah.
So not a romance fetish, but I read her Hollywood Wives like, you know, years ago and stuff. Yeah, that was like really good.
Uh-huh. I love you, Sam. You're so funny.
It's trashy novels, but they're good. So I thought, you know, she just had a new book come out and I thought, let me check it out, you know?
Okay.
And I'm having a blast with this book.
Really?
You know, yeah. So actually one of the plot lines talks about these two famous people, and this allegation comes out that or a revelation, I mean, because they're actually doing this. They were like, they had like this high class hooker service and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. like not escort, but I guess that's what they called it. But it was hookers, you know, like
full blown
high priced hookers and stuff.
Okay.
So then this thing like came out, and you know, it's this whole thing in the tabloids, and you know, and people talking about it, and these people totally like, you know, embarrassed and under pressure, like what's gonna happen now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. So this is funny because it's so similar to it, you know. It's just about stories coming out about people and, you know, coming out in the rags, and then everybody talks about it, you know.
Here's the thing. To think you're going to go through life and not want something that you can't really have or shouldn't have is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to get married, know you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. It's human nature. You're going to look at other women. You're going to think, oh, the grass is greener on the other side. Right now, things are a little hard. It'd be fun to just indulge in this and escape from the reality. But you never escape. You only create more problems, and you end up hurting the person, and you're hurting yourself ultimately too.
Yeah.
And the person involved, the other woman. It's just like, it's not, you're never, there's never going to be a perfect human out there that everything you want, you're going to have when you want. You're not going to have to wait. You're not going to have to work through stuff. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
We live in a culture where people are taught, if you want it, you can have it, and just go after it. And it does. It pisses me off because people are just thinking it's okay.
Yeah. But I think it's just plain stupid when you're a celebrity to be doing these things, because it is going to come out.
Well, the cost is high.
You're in a public eye.
The cost is high, and, you know, people are that girl that was hooking up with him, she knew who he was. She knew who he was married to. She probably saw dollar signs on that.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's gonna be kept secret? And I think a lot of people, I think as human, I mean, people like to say, oh, I'm an addict, or this person's an addict, or there's this like whole view around addictions, that there's something so unique about people with addictions, and it's special. And honestly, I know it's going to piss people off when I say that, but honestly, I think as human nature, we're addicts to something. It may not be substances, but it could be so many different things.
Right.
And I think it's our nature that we're addicted to something.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean we have to stay addicted, but it's just human nature, I believe. And you see a lot of people that they just want to keep. They said when you have something that feels good, there's something that goes off in your brain. It's like kind of like morphine.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you feel good. And what happens is we want to keep going back to that pleasure button and tapping it and
right.
tap tap tap. Give me more of that feeling. And same thing with like the idea of adultery. Men like. It can be a lot of the forbidden fruit around
mm-hmm,
it. It's
mm-hmm.
the fact that they have to look it for it. And then the fact that the stakes are so high
mm-hmm.
that if they do get caught, it makes it even more arousing that they could almost get caught.
Mm.
And people that gamble, it could be that they don't feel alive unless everything's on the line and they can trash their whole family. And not that they want to do those things, but the fact that the risk factor's through the roof. And
yeah.
so there's this attraction to it as well.
Right. But you don't have to be an addict to have an affair, you know? I mean,
No. Yeah. I don't mean like an addict in like the traditional sense. I mean
right.
this reckless kind of
mm-hmm.
you want something so bad, you're willing to put everything on the line.
Right.
And you want it, and the fact that it is so quote-unquote forbidden, or that the stakes are so high, it kind of it kind of heightens the arousal factor.
Right.
Like there's I was reading this book, really great book about these case studies of women that have. It's basically called Women Who Love Too Much, and it's basically. Basically, these basic bad relationships, but why it's so seductive and attractive. And one of them is like it says, you know, good sex and bad relationships. It also talks about adultery. And there's this one woman with this man who it was a secretary and boss type situation. And they would have like crazy amazing sex, and she was always on the back burner, and she was the other woman, and she just really wanted him to leave his wife and get married. And most circumstances, men never leave their wife, and they just keep that on the side. Well, in this case, he did leave his wife, mm-hmm. and they ended up getting married. And then the sex became really bad. Their connection dissolved. They didn't, because what happened was so much of the attraction on each other's part had so much to do with the fact that. It was secretive, and they could get caught, and it was always in a certain circumstance that their sexuality and connection was tied together. Mm-hmm. And once it was no longer quote-unquote bad, and they couldn't get caught anymore, and it was available to them whenever they wanted,
right.
it started to dissolve.
Yeah.
And so it was an illusion.
Yeah.
It was an illusion.
That's usually what it is, yeah.
So somebody like Jesse James and this girl, I mean, I don't know, I wasn't there, but I'm sure that had a lot to do with it, possibly.
Yeah.
And if he were to leave his wife for her, I mean, anyway, my point is that this is, people are chasing a feeling. Everybody's chasing a feeling,
mm-hmm.
and they go away.
That's true, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is that you may be right, and everybody's addicted to something, but I think it becomes an addiction when it screws up your life, you know. Until mm-hmm. then, you know, you can do whatever you want, and you don't hurt anybody. But, you know, so I don't know if this has to do with an addiction.
Well,
you know, you'd be amazed, you know, when you talk to, like, psychologists or hairdressers, people that hear other people's stories,
mm-hmm.
you find out how many people cheat, and it's just amazing. I mean, it's mind-boggling how many people cheat, and women as much as men, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, these men have to cheat with someone,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
And
or emotional affairs. I mean, think about it like that.
Yeah.
A lot of women I know, they start to try to get their fix through mm-hmm. other guys, and it's not appropriate. It's not okay, and it's They're emotionally giving of themselves and getting something from another man, and
right.
that's not going to help your marriage.
Yeah.
If you're struggling, and I get it. It's probably hard if it's probably got to be hard when you're with somebody that you love, but yet you guys have a lot of work that mm-hmm. needs to be done, and maybe you don't have the resources or the tools, and you don't know how to get through the hurdles in life. And just like anything, it's probably easier to kind of check out a bit.
Right.
And not work on it. I mean.
I know, you know, but it's like so embarrassing and devastating to the partner that was cheated on, you know,
mm-hmm.
because people are going to start thinking maybe you don't please him in bed, you know, maybe you're not a good woman, maybe you're not a good wife. And so I think that's part of the pain, you know, other than the trust that's been broken and betrayed, you know,
yeah.
it's just the feeling that of inadequacy, I think.
I think you're probably right. I've heard it said that when women cheat, it's because of the man, and when men cheat, it's because of themselves. So not to excuse responsibility. So what I'm saying is if somebody cheats, it's their responsibility.
Mm.
Let me clarify that. But usually women, this is what I've been told, and I don't know if this is correct, but that when women cheat, it's because there's something that they're not feeling or getting from their spouse, and they
right.
really want it from their spouse,
right.
but they're
yeah.
not getting it. And so they're kind of looking for it with other people, whereas generally men can be getting that from their wife, but it's still not enough.
No, they want something different.
Because men like to hunt, and they
yeah.
like to spread their seed, if you will.
Right.
And it's part of, for men, it's a sense of entitlement and a sense of the hunt and all that. And
mm-hmm.
and yeah, so I think for men it's different, because I think women could be doing everything they can,
mm-hmm.
and it's still not enough. I know a lot of like women that their husbands have sex addictions, and
mm-hmm.
she's never going to be enough for him. He has to get help with his sex addiction.
Right.
And it doesn't have anything to do with her.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that mostly it's not sex
no.
addiction. You know, I think mostly it's because, like you said, maybe a sense of entitlement is
yeah,
more
yeah.
accurate, you know? And because, you know, if you're willing to put your relationship on the line, it's because you probably feel you know, you deserve to have what you have, and you know, everyone else be damned, you know.
Yeah, that absolutely. And like I said, it's whoever does it. I mean, it is ultimately their responsibility.
Yeah.
But that is just super, you know, difficult. I don't know what it'd be like. But my heart goes out to her because I think she's an amazing woman. And again, we're not personal friends. Hopefully one day we will be.
Yeah.
And we'll be in a movie together or something like that.
I wonder if she's going to stay with him. You know, I mean, I'm amazed at how many people do stay together after an affair. I can tell you that I wouldn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would never stay. I mean, once a partner cheats, that's it, you know, because the trust has been broken. You know, there's if you don't have trust,
if you
then
cheated,
it's hard.
If you cheated, which if I don't know if you ever would, but let's say you did cheat, would you expect or hope that your wife would not leave you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would hope, but I wouldn't expect it to because, yeah, because I know how she feels about it. I know how I would feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I don't cheat, and I never have because I've been cheated on.
Oh, you have?
And the pain is immense, you know? Mm. I mean, so you don't want to have to...
Was it a girlfriend or your ex-wife?
No, well, this was like a long time ago when I was like 16 years old, you know?
Okay.
So, but it stayed with me, you know? It stayed with me for a long time. And I remember at the time I said, you know, I'm not ever going to cheat on someone because it's a bad feeling to leave someone with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so you have to overcome those urges, you know?
I've never been cheated on, but I've had my suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my suspicions. And because it was usually with one guy, it was just I saw him kind of flirting with someone else. We were at the House of Blues and we went to go see his friend was James Blunt. We went to go see that concert and I was hanging out with a bunch of his friends and he was gone for like 20 minutes. I was like, where did he go? And I didn't really know his friends very well. And I walked into the other room and I saw him talking to these two twins that were like blonde models.
Right.
Super tall. And I was so pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I was so pissed that I left and got a cab and never called him.
Really?
Never called him.
Yeah.
I just, I'm done. Like, I can't even handle the thought of you left me alone for 20 minutes and I'm seeing you talk to these models and, you know, no, done. So I got a cab.
Yeah, it makes you feel like shit, you know?
It did. It hurt so bad.
Yeah,
it was for the best because, you know, ultimately we weren't supposed to be together.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had this boyfriend who I knew he had a crush on a girl that he worked with. Not because he just told me, but he would kind of bring her up in conversation and I could tell he kind of lit up when he talked about her. So I was already pissed about that. I thought that was weird. But he was also really, really crazy about me. He was really, really crazy about me. And towards the end, I was breaking up with him. And when I say breaking up, it's kind of one of those like, we need to end this, but we're both really want to see each other. But I knew it wasn't for the best. I knew that he and I we're not on the same page.
Right.
So he'd still call me and try to, let's go out, let's go see each other or whatever. And sometimes I'd give into it. But for the most part, I kept cutting it off.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he had like a favorite place that he loved to go hang out. And I was going to go surprise him one night. And again, we were technically on and off. So, you know, it wasn't like we were super together.
Right.
But it was really sad. I had just got this really cute new dress. And it's like so cute, this dress was. And he like totally likes when I wear dresses, which is like all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my gosh, he's going to get a kick out of this dress. So I just showed up at one night wearing this dress, like to surprise him.
Mm-hmm.
So stupid. I don't know what I was thinking. And I saw him in a booth having a drink with the girl that he worked with.
Wow.
And my heart sank sank in my stomach. And even though we were on the rocks, I just wasn't ready to see that.
Yeah.
And he was still pursuing me. He was still trying to get something going. So I just left that night and I was sick to my stomach. And it stayed with me for like a few weeks where every time I'd think about him, I'd get kind of nauseous. I felt so betrayed. And we weren't even...
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be sex, you know? I mean, it's just that, like you said, that sense of betrayal where you feel that you have something with that person and suddenly they go and they build something else with someone else.
It's like you've been so vulnerable and you've shown such a intimate side of yourself that you don't show everybody because it's personal.
Right.
And then they've been there and you guys have had those experiences and that intimacy, and then it's just so painful. So I can't imagine what it's like to actually be cheated on. I mean, I've only caught somebody flirting with somebody or having an attraction to somebody. I've never been cheated on, and I mean, that was enough to piss me off, though.
Yeah.
I mean, I was ready to see red. You know, I was like, a man's not going to want to cheat on me. He's really not going to want to cheat on me.
Yeah.
It's just not a good combination.
Yeah. Well, you make sure they don't.
Well, I can't control somebody. I'm just saying
if you can't.
If they decide to make that move, it's going to be really bad for them.
And you just do the best you can, you know what I mean? If they can't keep their dick in their pants, then they got a problem, you know?
Yeah, they got a problem.
All right. Well, we're all talked out for today, I would imagine, right?
Okay.
Yeah. I thought I'd be so tired this morning that I'd only want to sleep, but now I'm ready to take on the world.
Because you got back, you won an award. You're all missing New York.
I'm all fresh back from a vacation, and it's a good feeling.
Okay.
But you know what? The bottom line is there's no place like home.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. I always love coming back home.
Yeah, well, we need another. Yeah. I like the way that's a good little slogan. No place like home. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
There you go.
There you go.
So thank you for listening to the award-winning show.
And
we'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.